Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? Here we go. Your dial is set correctly to USA Prepares. I was just talking with Jason before the broadcast about Psychology 101, freshman year, and conditioned response. Maybe I'll tell that story someday. And I'm delighted to be broadcasting with your newest instructor. Her name is Dr. Amber Abernathy. She graduated with a PhD in experimental psychology from Oklahoma State University. She's currently an associate professor of psychology at Missouri State University and the Mary Charlotte Bayless Sheely Chair in Conscientious Psychology. She has interests in conscientiousness, personality, changing personality traits, psychophysiology, leadership, mindfulness, meditation, self-regulation, social status, psychobiology of the stress response, the differences in the sexes, stress and health, dominance, social hierarchies, Machiavellianism, empathy, and autism. And unlike many of your instructors, actually most of your instructors, Dr. Abernathy is able to hold down a job. Welcome, Dr. Abernathy.
It's all because of conscientiousness. That's the only reason.
And I was telling Jason that I'm really looking forward to this. Oh, class, we won't be taking calls today. But I'm really looking forward to this because maybe we'll get a slight insight as to why our adult children who have never been married, I mean, Mrs. Fennelli and my children who have never been married, have not found that ideal spouse yet. You know, they're in one's mid-30s, another one's mid-30s, another one is about 30. So maybe we can find out a little bit about that. So I'm so glad you're here with us. And you and I met years ago at an event that Dr. Sheely had, and we sat across from each other, you know, at a dinner table, and it was a wonderful experience. And I'm so glad that we've had a chance to, you know, teach a broadcast class together. I'm really looking forward to hearing all about conscientiousness. It's something that Dr. Norm Sheely talks about very often. And so why don't we start with your background, if that's okay with you, Dr. Abernathy?
That works great for me. I came from Oklahoma State University and studied experimental psychology. So I tell people I am not clinical. I don't come to help you. I just come to study you and find out the greater understanding of people, and then someone else can help you clinically. So that's not my job. But my background actually in research was looking at dominance hierarchies and status and what made people on top. And stress was a big part of that, how stress plays a role in that. The lab I came from did a lot with physiological measures. So we do skin conductance. We do spit samples for things like oxytocin and testosterone and cortisol. And so that's kind of where I came from. But then I started noticing that personality played a role in this top position. It's kind of a no-duh, but, you know, when you're studying research, you kind of get on one path and forget to look at the greater picture. So it happened to be that a couple times we threw some personality questionnaires in there and found some things. And so that changed my trajectory a little bit. So I still look at dominance hierarchies and social status and stress, But now I really kind of focus a little bit more on how personality plays a role in that.
And so are we talking about how people arrive at the top? I'm talking about like a Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Elon Musk. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about?
Yes and no. So I studied it a couple of different ways. The reason I got into that personal story here is I worked with a group of women, and they were really backstabbing on each other. So they were nice one day, pro-social, helping, friendly, and then the next moment they would kind of cut someone down. And they still stayed at the top position doing that. And I kept saying, why are they at the top position? How are people still following them when they also cut people down? So I decided to go back to college and get my degree and got it in psychology and kept going. And this was such an interesting thing for me to study. So I found what's called perceived popularity. And these are individuals that use pro-social, helping-type behaviors, as well as coercive, so making or forcing others to go along with it. So I was looking more on kind of this personal basis. I did some research at high school looking at, you know, this happens at high school. I did look in the workplace, this happens at the workplace. But then I elaborated on that, and you do see this in CEOs and business people. So some of my research then started looking at the empathy component. So do you feel for that person? And, you know, a lot of your CEOs and business people might not have the highest level of empathy because they can't be empathetic for everyone. They need to make those tough decisions. Sometimes they have to force you to go along with it. So, yes, I am seeing that same kind of behavior in CEOs, head of companies, business people, but even at a much lower level, just in your day-to-day groups, in your friend groups, you know, sometimes this is referred to as the mean girl effect, but it's not just with girls. But you do see this combination of pro-social strategies and coercive strategies. So I'm going to help you out. I'm going to make you go along with this. And, you know, the big thing is knowing when to use those strategies.
Now, it's interesting that you said that. I remember, I'll put an exclamation point on what you just said. I remember being in an elevator at the county building in Springfield, Missouri. I had to do some paperwork to have an expo. And I got in this elevator, and there were some women in there. And they kind of looked at me. They were already in the elevator. And they looked at me. They looked at each other. And then they continued to beat up, you know, their coworkers, you know, verbally to each other. I mean, they're willing to to talk mean about them. And, you know, did you know what Sally did? And, boy, it's terrible. And, you know, Bill did, etc. So that's exactly what you were talking about. And yet, you know, they put a smile on it and get out of the elevator and everything seemed to be okay. But they were kind of mean-spirited in this jousting with people that weren't present. You know, the people that they were picking on. Like, did you see the kind of donuts she got? You know, how dare her get donuts like that? I mean, little things, I guess, are big to little people, right?
Right. That's absolutely what they're doing. And what they're doing is keeping their status. I am better than that person. So when that person's not around, let me show my authority, let me show my leadership, and let me cut them down. If I can lower them to some degree, then it just keeps me in the higher position. And then, like I said, they also use that pro-social. So they also come in and say, oh, can you help me out with this? I'm friendly. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do things for you. And so people really get confused by this type of person. It's like, are they helpful? Are they harmful? I see them as nice. I see them as mean. And that's how they're keeping that position. Let me cut you down when it's beneficial. Let me help you when it's beneficial.
Very interesting. So the rest of that story was I got off the elevator and I went up to the counter and they wanted me to fill out some forms. Actually, the county demanded that I fill out these forms for an expo. I said, sure. And so the lady just pushes the forms across the counter and says, fill these out. Sit over there. You know, they had a little table I could sit at. And I said, I looked at them and I said, you know, I'm not sure I can do this right. And I want to make sure I follow this procedure correctly. So would you come over there and sit with me and we can do this together? She was she was not expecting that I was going to tie her up and that I read slowly. And it was a great jousting that we went through, you know, with smiles on our faces. And I just wasn't going to let her push me around. So that's kind of how I responded. Any comments about that, Dr. Abernathy?
I think that's a great way to respond because it doesn't let them continue to get the upper hand. I think my biggest issue with people that kind of, again, this is shown to work. I did a study looking actually at preschoolers' behaviors. Now, they're not as kind of backstabbing. Theirs is more physical aggression, but I've seen it in all age groups. It tends to work. But my biggest issue that I have with it is that people don't stand up to them. And that's actually why I started studying this, is it wasn't so much that this one girl did this, that one cashier, or, you know, person at the courthouse did it. It was the fact that why does no one else call them out on that? So I think by calling someone out, it doesn't elevate their position. It shows that, no, we're equal, or maybe even my mentality is higher than yours in that case. And so I think that's the best thing to do. I think you handled that right. And maybe made them think a little bit about their behavior.
Dr. Abernathy, I've been audited many, many times at the state level and at the federal level. You know, tax return kinds of audits, sales tax returns, federal income tax returns, etc. And we prepare our own tax returns. We don't use a preparation service. So we know the rules because we've read the rules. And so when we get audited, you know, it's like I'm being told exactly how I'm going to behave. You are going to do this. And what I do is, you know, they say, all right, prove you have this, this is a legitimate deduction. And I have, you know, boxes of receipts and things. And what I do is I tell them I have it. I have the proof. I've got the notes on the side of the tax form, the tax documentation. I know exactly why I took what deductions. And I have the receipts to prove it. It just takes me a long time to find them. They're in this box. And I'm going to look through them because you need that to, you know, to complete your audit. So just give me a few minutes and I'll do my best to find it. And it takes me forever. And they hate it. So is that another example of what you've been talking about? And not standing up to them?
Yes, it can be, definitely. What you're doing is kind of keeping the control at least equal, if not pulling it back to yourself. So when I study leadership, so not just these hierarchies, but leadership, you know, part of that is simply exerting your control as well. And I don't necessarily mean in a bad way. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, be bullies. Of course, I'm not going that direction. But simply the fact of I have some level of control in my life, and I'm not going to allow you to take charge. And so just simply saying, you know, this is how I'm going to do it as well. I understand your rules. I understand what you're looking for, but I need this.
You know, there's several definitions of management. I don't know if this is taught anymore, but one of the definitions from the School of Management, I attended the School of Management back in the 70s at a different university. But I was taught that management is getting people to do things. And then I was taught that actually there's a little better definition of that, and that's, and I'm talking about in a business setting, or in a military setting. Another definition is getting people to do what you want them to do. Another definition is even better than that, getting people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it. Now, my definition is getting people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it because they think it's their idea. I'd love to hear your comments on that when we come back after this short commercial break. Dr. Amber Abernathy is with us.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This can be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Why today you've got your
take my
when you go
to the
season
for 2 seconds during the season.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So back in the 70s, I learned that there's two styles of management. One is Theory X and one is the other's Theory Y. Theory X is your employees hate being at work. They don't want to be there. And the only reason they're there is because they need the money. And the only reason that they perform at their function or their job is because they've been beaten by the boss. So the boss's job is to beat the employees. That's Theory X. Theory Y is the opposite. Your employees want to be at that job site. They want to love what they're doing. They want to be contributors. They want to do an excellent job. And all you have to do as a manager is encourage them and provide them the tools, the opportunity, and, you know, lead the way. And so that's where my definition of management, which is getting people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it because they think it's their idea, came from. Your comments, please.
I think that almost always the best type of management is where you get them to do it because they are intrinsically motivated. It's not for the paycheck. It's because they want to do it. It's because they're really involved. You know, if they're doing something only based on some extrinsic reward to get done with the end of the day, to get that paycheck, then you're not going to have happy people working for you. And if management only forces ideas on people, then you're not going to have a productive work area. The only thing that I can say is the but, maybe there's always a but in research, but the only thing I can say is a but, is there are times when for the good of the company, the manager has to say, this is it, there's no other way. We see this in parenting as well. You know, for the most part, the best parents are the ones that reason and explain to the child and are, you know, supportive. But there are times, like when safety is an issue, if it's a dangerous area, then you simply say, we're doing it this way. You can't go outside. I'm not going to explain why you just can't. I mean, right now. And you see this sometimes in businesses as well, especially when we were talking about kind of levels of management. A lot of times those upper managers have to make decisions and not care if the person's intrinsically motivated or not, or, you know, not care if this is going to be make all employees happy. It's got to keep the business running. So I would say most often in most managing type positions, trying to get your coworkers, your, you know, employees on board and understanding and thinking that it's their idea and they're sharing in the wealth is going to be the best idea. But there are times when that kind of direct, this is how it's going to be, comes in. And that's where in my research I've studied the trait of Machiavellianism. And you actually see that a lot. It's often called the successful CEO has that Machiavellianism. And that is basically where the ends justify the means. And they're only thinking about that outcome end goal.
I remember a point in our parenting lives when I had a chat with our daughter. And she said, but Mindy's allowed to stay out, you know, till midnight. You know, she was a young child. And, but, you know, Mindy's allowed to do that. Why can't I do that? And I said, well, you know, when you were born, I did not get an owner's manual with you. I did not get an instruction book with you. I'm figuring this out as we go. And by the way, I am not Mindy's parent. Mindy has her own parents. So her parents are doing what they think is best, and I'm doing what I think is best. And so that has happened to me, and that, I guess that happens a lot in the military when, you know, the squad goes out on a mission, and just before the mission, you know, it's a dangerous mission, and the sergeant or the lieutenant says, look, this is pretty dangerous, and some of you aren't going to come back. And the guys say, look, I don't want to go. And they go, that's too bad. You're going. So it does happen, yes. Would you like to talk about how you started working for Dr. Norm Shealy?
Yeah, it actually transitions from that dominance hierarchy into conscientiousness and meeting Norm. So I graduated in 2015 from Oklahoma State University and was on the job market. You know, they tell you when you get a PhD, like less than 1% of the population has a PhD. They don't tell you then the jobs are like 0.5%. It's a hard job market there. But I really got really just blessed. What I did was I did some job searches, and there was one here at Missouri State University, and it was for a teaching position, experimental psychology, but then the research was to emphasize on conscientiousness. And what happened was Dr. Shealy, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with.
Hold that. Dr. Abernathy, hold that thought. We're going to another break, and we'll be right back. And then can please continue with that thought.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes, a Republican from California, said Wednesday there is significant circumstantial evidence that the COVID-19 outbreak started from a leak at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and is urging the federal government to put more pressure on China to allow for a full, credible investigation into the sources of the global pandemic. The congressman said it's the only way to prevent or quickly mitigate future pandemics. New York State Police conducted a search at the home of Rochester Mayor Democrat Lovely Warren as part of a criminal investigation. Warren is in the middle of a re-election campaign with a primary coming up next month. Police said the search warrant is part of an ongoing criminal investigation and had nothing to do with Warren's indictment on felony campaign fraud charges, with that case still pending in state court. Congratulations to New York Yankees pitcher Corey Kluber for throwing a no-hitter on Wednesday against the Texas Rangers. USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
If you're confused by the government's response to the mask mandate, you're not alone. Some lawmakers are calling out Democrats for playing politics and trying to maintain their power over Americans. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Three Republican lawmakers face a $500 fine for skirting mask rules on the floor of the House of Representatives. Florida Republican Congressman Brian Mast saying he's following the recent guidelines issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Mast telling Fox News he believes this is just another power grab by the Democrats.
I went onto the floor of the House of Representatives. I had to speak, and as I was sitting there, a member of the House Sergeant at Arms staff approached me, asked me if I was going to put on my mask. I said no. They said, okay, you will be fine. The only thing that Speaker Pelosi is protecting right now is control, is tyrannical control. Because if you've been vaccinated, there's no reason for you to have to wear a mask.
A resolution filed by House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy seeking to change the current mask guidance in the House of Representatives and allow members to be maskless on the House floor was blocked by Democrats on Wednesday evening. According to Nielsen's April 2021 People Meter survey, radio listening is on the rise. The most recent survey revealed new gains in radio listening across a number of markets for the second month in a row. As America continues to reopen, consumers are returning to radio in numbers not seen in over half a year. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
That's just a quick update. Tomorrow, hour number one, I'll be talking about, it'll be just me, I'll be talking about tips from my unorganized, unfinished, and not for sale book. Specifically, why riding lawnmowers break down. Not only the mower, but the engine. So both the engine and the mower, why they break down. And also we'll be talking about why cars overheat and why mechanics can't seem to find the cause. I'll tell you what the cause is and what you can do about it and what I do about it. Hour number two, Bert Bertone, CEO, is going to be explaining why the cryptocurrency market collapsed yesterday. So that's tomorrow. Dr. Amber Abernethy is with us. And you were telling us about how you started working with Dr. Norm Shealy. Please continue.
Yes, I was looking at some different job opportunities that were out there, and I came across this one that said that they wanted some research in the personality trait of conscientiousness. Well, it just so happened that two of my recent research findings right at that time was actually on effortful control. And effortful control is a subcomponent of conscientiousness. So I was like, look, I've been doing this. I've actually been researching conscientiousness without at the time knowing exactly what I was looking at, but I was finding that. So that social hierarchy, that dominant individual, it wasn't just that they were using those pro-social and coercive strategies. It was that they had conscientiousness or effortful control, and they knew when to use them. So I decided to apply for the job, and I came along and met Dr. Norm Shealy. And what had happened is Dr. Shealy had seen over and over and over again, he saw that the people that were healthier, that did well, that didn't get as sick or got over their sickness had this personality trait. So he wanted research done on it. And I was like, look, I've been doing this. And so I did some interviews here at the college and met him. He is a fascinating person, a genius. He has now been kind of the emphasis on my work, and kind of I've grown from there and doing other things outside even of conscientiousness. But I met him through this job search, and like I said, it's been many years now that he has been kind of a mentor to me in research, in help, in understanding where we're going in life.
Yeah, and isn't it wonderful having a friend such as Dr. Norm Shealy? Now, I think you and I are extremely blessed. And class, I think you're going to find out a little bit about Dr. Norman Shealy as well today during this class with Dr. Amber Abernethy. Can you tell us about your relationship with Dr. Norm Shealy? How does it work?
So it is a great relationship because it's kind of twofold. He lets me run research with whatever I am interested in, with my own ideas. So he is not the over-commanding manager that is standing there telling me what I should and shouldn't do. But at the same time, we will have research meetings. I'll discuss things that I've done. He'll tell me ideas along the way. And then he will also tell me ideas that he is looking at, and then I'll help him run that. So some examples of that, I was looking at the concept of self-regulation. It's, again, kind of a subcomponent of this conscientiousness, and can we regulate our emotions? And I said, I think if we can increase that, if we can change self-regulation, we can increase conscientiousness. But I said, how do we change self-regulation? Like, how do I fix that? And he said, if you can teach people to change their body temperature, then you can actually teach them to self-regulate. That's a small component of self-regulation. And so I said, all right, how do we do that even? And so he said, finger thermometers, and you can have them walk through this visualization of warmth. And great idea. I took it and ran with it. We actually ran it this last semester. We're looking for more participants, but we had about 30 last semester, and that's what we were looking at, is can they change their body temperature, and then overall, does that change self-regulation and conscientiousness? And so that was a great just meeting and discussion with that. Then he's came to me a few times and said, I'm really working on pulse electronic magnetic frequencies. And I said, I've got to Google this. And so we've worked together, him explaining what he's doing. And so we started running research on that. I started gathering participants from him, for him. And we've done it on several different things. He's had oils for that he's come along with, and let's study this oil. And because my background is in experimental research, I've got the idea for design, and do we have a control group, and what can can we do? And then I can do kind of a wide variety of people. He reaches a lot of people through radio broadcast and his clients, but the people that I reach are more college-based, so we can get a great sample and look at what he's interested in and what I'm interested in, and then combine them. So like I said, he's been a great mentor. Have you thought about this? Have you looked at this? He sends me articles on things. And then in the same aspect, I can write him back and say, hey, I thought about this. And so we really work together that way. So hands on, hands off. He is wonderful at being a mentor, but letting me make my own decisions along the way.
It sounds to me like theory one, providing you with the opportunities, the tools, some guidance, and letting you run with the tasks, and then letting you figure out tasks that you're interested in, blending them all together, which makes for a great reason to enjoy your profession. And it sounds like you really do enjoy your profession, because he is a Theory Y manager. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. He's so passionate in everything he does. Everything that he does is strictly based on wanting to help people and wanting to understand. And so he just makes it where you want to do the same. Meeting with him and seeing his excitement on something or seeing his new idea or direction makes me go, let me think about that. Let me look into that. And I have always enjoyed my job. I've always enjoyed the research. So when he, you know, adds new ideas and new insight, and again, yes, let me make my own ideas out of that, then that intrinsic motivation just grows. And so I think both of us are enjoying what we're doing. And, you know, I feed off of his excitement. So you're right. As a manager, he is wonderful at making me come up with my ideas and making me become motivated on my own. And, yes, I enjoy everything that we do.
It's quite fascinating. And here at my function, if you will, at Genesis Communications Network as a broadcaster, the owner of the network is very much the same, with one slight difference. He lets me do whatever I want to do completely. But he knows that there's certain things that I won't do. You know, I am not going to get the network in trouble. He knows that I'm not going to do that. So he lets me do whatever I want, literally. And whenever I call him, which is, you know, just a couple times a year over the last almost a decade, he just says, you know, I don't get any complaints about you. And I think that what that means is, or that translates into, just keep doing what you're doing. You're not causing any problems. We haven't been sued, those kinds of things. And the FCC hasn't come down on us. So he lets me alone. And I have a feeling that Dr. Sheely is so pleased with your work that he lets you run off with ideas and concepts and tasks that you want to learn more about and study and research. So that's my impression on your relationship with Dr. Sheely. You mentioned controlling the body's temperature. Can you share with us what you've learned about, can we control our temperature?
Yes, we can. We can raise it a degree or two after some practice. Part of the easiest way to do that is through the visualization, like picture the sun beaming down on your hand. We actually play a little recording of Dr. Sheely's voice saying that for them. And so it's kind of the visualization. It's thinking about your hand actually warming up. We've noticed that it takes them a few times to kind of get involved and really concentrate on that. But over time, they can learn to raise their body temperature a couple of degrees. And then by default, you can actually do it the opposite way and lower it just slightly as well. And so what it is, there's been some great research looking at the concept of self-regulation. And the idea is that it's like a muscle. And so the more we do it, the stronger it gets. But it can also wear out. If you're on a diet and you're trying to regulate, you know, what you're eating, and then you also have to watch what you say because you're at a faculty meeting or whatever you might, on the radio, whatever you're doing, then sometimes you just simply wear out and you don't have any control and you break the diet or you do whatever. So the idea is if we can strengthen self-regulation over time, then you can be better at all of those things. And so simply by changing your body temperature, learning to regulate your body temperature, it actually strengthens all those other areas of your life. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy, but it's actually true, because what's happening is you're learning control. You're learning to control one aspect of your body, which then strengthens all. And so we saw that we had this class. It was a physiology class that a coworker of mine does, and we thought, what better way than teaching physiology by having them use their own body's physiology. And so we had finger thermometers, and at the end of every class period, that's what they would do, is put the finger thermometer on, hear it, and record if they'd raised it or not. And then, like I said, we're looking at, we haven't got all that data, and we'd like more participants. I always like more people. But we're looking to see if that did change their personality trait over the course of the semester as well.
Are you saying that, well, let me ask it this way. Does conscientiousness somewhat equal control?
Yes. So it has been related to control, self-control, effortful control. Yes, big part of conscientiousness is having control over your emotions, your body, your language, and even to some degree your environment. Another big part of conscientiousness is order. And so conscientiousness is very highly related to levels of control.
When I was at the university back in the 70s, I had a financial instructor. And he taught the class about a concept. It has to do with investing and how to invest your Federal Reserve notes, if you will. And he called it mini-max regret. M-I-N-I, max, M-A-X, regret. And what mini-max regret is going through the, you know, you can apply this to life as well, going through life, and so at that moment, what would your maximum regret be? So the way I taught this in my classes is, so visualize driving down the interstate, and you're in the slow lane with your car or truck. And flying up on the left-hand lane, the fast lane, if you will, is a truck, and he's overtaking you. And as he does, you notice that he has a ladder, an extension ladder, in the back bed of his pickup truck. And then he pulls in front of you. So now he's in front of you. You're both doing 65 or so. And that ladder is, you see, it's not secured. So what would your maximum regret be at that moment? And that would be that ladder flying out of the truck, caught by a gust of wind by a passing semi, and flying through your windshield. So what do you do to minimize that maximum regret? You back off. Is that what conscientious people do?
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAprepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAprepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Dr. Abernathy, I mentioned mini max regret, something I learned at the university in the early 70s. And that would be minimizing that maximum regret of any example that I gave of that ladder going through your windshield, by somebody pulling in front of you with unsecured load, if you will, in the back of their pickup truck. Is that an example of conscientiousness?
Yes, it is. What is happening is conscientious people have perseverance and industriousness. So they're going to work hard, they're going to keep working, and they're planners. So they're going to take into consideration what's going on in the scenario. How do I get that they follow through? How do I get what I want? What can I fix in that situation? You know, how can I make it through to what I want to do? And they're going to work hard to do it. The only thing that maybe conscientious people don't necessarily do as much is they're planners and they want control and they might not always see the negative thing ahead. The only study that I've ever seen that says high conscientiousness can be a bad thing, the only study, is that people that were unemployed for a long period of time that had high conscientiousness had higher depression rates. So when you're driving along and you think you've planned for everything and, you know, you've made all the plans on the road and you've checked your car and the tires and you're driving safe, and then that ladder comes out of nowhere, that can be very hard for high conscientious people because they've planned and they're followed through. Now, if they have enough time to see that problem, then they'll do everything they can to overcome it. And I think that's definitely a part of conscientiousness and grit, just to kind of keep going with that, resiliency, all of those components. But again, the only issue would be if they don't see, if it comes out of nowhere, that can be somewhat hard for conscientious people because they think they've done everything to kind of keep going and follow through.
There's a guy who is well known in the electric car business. I won't mention his name. But, you know, sometimes I look at what happens and I think that, gosh, I don't think he's fully thought this through. For example, he touts how electric cars are wonderful, but what he doesn't consider is that we don't have the grid and the power generation to convert all of these gasoline and diesel engines to electric cars and trucks. So, and then this guy is known for bouts of depression. He really is. And then he'll go off and say things about cryptocurrencies, and he'll cause a mini crash, a flash crash, because, you know, he'll talk about how his company will or won't accept them or will change his mind. And he's well followed, and I think that that's a great example of what you're saying, but I won't mention his name. Does that sound like the depression that you're talking about and not realizing all of the consequences of one's actions?
It definitely could be. I mean, I think there's a lot of variables at play, but I think that that definitely can be part of it, is that you think you've planned and you have this idea and you're following through and you're doing, you know, you're working, you think you have control, but maybe not taking into consideration all of these outside aspects. And that can be problematic. An upcoming study we're doing, we're going to look at perfectionism, which is related to conscientiousness, but there is adaptive perfectionism and maladaptive perfectionism. And so both, you know, the person is driven and trying to do their best, but one of them can be very maladaptive because it's related to stress and anxiety and depression, because maybe they're not thinking of all components, and they can't stand being derailed. So I think part of that, it might not just be conscientiousness, but I think it can definitely play a role. Again, conscientiousness is a great thing. It's very rarely negative. But if things derail us, then it can be problematic.
Do you have a number or percentage of people who exhibit conscientious traits? Is there such a thing as X percentage of people exhibit these traits?
No, because the way that most of the studies are done is it's based on the sample itself. So age actually makes a difference in conscientiousness. The older we get, the more conscientious we are. So your scores are going to go up with age. And so that's going to make a difference. You know, people at college should ideally be a little more conscientious. You know, it takes a little bit more of the responsibility, the follow through. Certain jobs have more conscientiousness in that job. So it's going to make a difference what your sample is. So I can't say on average. The other big problem that we have with research, big problem, is it's self-report for the most part. We do sometimes use, you know, spouse report, friend report. We've done stranger report, actually, on what they see in a person. But one of the big things is you're reporting on yourself. And so people, yeah, I'm organized. Yeah, I have control. Yeah, I'm responsible. And they're only seeing it through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. We're going into the final break of this hour, Dr. Abernathy. And after the top of the hour news commercials, we'll be back and we'll be talking more with you about your pulse electromagnetic frequency results, depression and sapphire, insomnia, the oils that you talked about, why you study conscientiousness, personalities, etc. I'm really looking forward to this. So we'll be right back, class, right after the top of the hour news and commercial announcements.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.